We're going back to about 1968, are we?
67.
You were admitted as a patient. How were you admitted?
I was admitted. I came in an ambulance from Cavan on the 18th of January, 67. My sister had been a patient there from the previous June. And Dr. Rogan was doing his rounds one day and he was speaking to her, asked her how she was and how was the family. And she mentioned to him that one of her brothers had a very bad cold and was having great difficulty getting rid of it. And that was me, and he sent for my x-rays to the clinic in Cavan Town, and they had me admitted 18 days or 20 days later. Dr. Logan, a brilliant man. He was on the ball, surely, yeah. Because of my sister being there, you know.
Right. So were you there at the same time as your sister?
I was indeed, yeah. She left about the end of February, I think. We were both there at the same time. She's now living in Australia.
All right.
Been there for years. But doing very well, and her health never looked back, thanks be to God. Thanks to Dr. Logan, you know, wonderful man, like he helped so many people, you know. I was there I got discharged, and I think it was around the 20th of April that year, 67, and I went back to work there in June as an orderly.
Right. So while you were a patient, was it hard being a patient, or was it?
It wasn't really, because we had a wonderful sister. I was admitted to St. Mary's. And then I was transferred 2 days later over to St. Patrick's. And there was a few younger people there, like myself, well, a bit older, but in the teenage years. And Sister Kelly was in charge of the water, Sister Rita Kelly, she was from Tyrone. And she was a wonderful person, looked after us very well. But she would put all the younger people together. She understood that, it was easier for us, you know. Maybe not so easy for the staff, but much easier for us. And she used to have great fun at night and a bit of black yarn, you know.
Right, and did you make friends then?
I did indeed, yeah. It was, I made a lot of friends there. There was one lad in particular came in, he came in from Newbridge. He was only 19, his father was after dying. And there was a lovely staff nurse there at the time called Monica Healy, who later in the years married a fellow called Cunningham that worked there as an electrician. And the two sons, she lives in Easton now, but she was very, very good to us as well. She told me about Pat O'Connor, his father had died recently, and I kind of took him under my wing, even though I was 3 years younger than him. But we remain friends even to this day. I'd call to see him regularly. He lives in Newbridge, Kildare.
That's very nice.
But we made some great friends, yeah. And of course, then when I got off rest five and I was able to knock about and go over and get my meals in the dining hall, I used to serve mass every morning over in the church. Father Timothy Hannan was there at the time. Quite a young priest, but a lovely man. And I served mass there every morning. Yeah, and then, of course, after a while, the patients would have the last meal around 6 o'clock. But we always got together, we'd make them a cup of tea around 8 o'clock, just before the staff went off. And I got the job of making the tea. We were allowed to go in the kitchen to make the tea, to boil the kettle, and we supplied our own tea and sugar and milk. I think it was a shilling a week for everybody.
Right, and that was all agreed.
That was all agreed. We done that ourselves. The patients done that, and I done that for when I was a patient there, and then somebody else took over after I left. You know.
Yeah.
But it was the people. Well, they like to have the cup of tea. They buy their own biscuits, like in the shop, and they have it. You know.
Yeah.
That's making the idiot. You know?
So you were trusted.
Well, I was trusted. Yeah, and it was good. And then when I got discharged. My sister wrote to the hospital and she got me a job there as an orderly, as a domestic orderly.
Right. But why did you want to go be an orderly?
Well, I wasn't allowed to go back to my apprenticeship. I was a joiner, right? I just recently started before I got sick, and because the dust, the tone wasn't good to.
Would go into your lungs.
And of course I was discharged on treatment anyway.
Oh, right.
So it was a better idea to keep an eye on me while I was, in the hospital.
Yeah. So you went back as an orderly.
As a domestic orderly, and then I was there for maybe a month when Sister Kelly decided that she'd promote me to a nursing orderly.
Right.
There wasn't an awful lot of the difference, except that I suppose I didn't have to wash and scrub in the kitchen. We don't have the same chores, but it was more dealing with patients when I became a nursing orderly,
Yes.
Taking them for baths and all the carry on. We're allowed to take their temperature and their pulse, Oh yeah, I'm writing down a little chart.
Right.
It was very, very interesting. Then we'd done night duty, of course, as well, and then she was brought me along and taught us how to, not just me, but taught any of us there, young people, how to lay people out on the dead, which was a great experience.
Right.
Taught me a lot about the living and the dead. and of course took away my fear of corpses and people, you know.
So
and a great respect for them, you know. She was a wonderful woman, Sister Kelly. I don't know if she's alive or dead, but I hope she's still alive and going well. But she was a wonderful person.
And you lived in those?
We lived in a place down behind St. Patrick's. It was a long kind of a timber hut, and there was about maybe 15, 20 beds in it, in units of their own. And there was a washing, a place for a bath and toilets. And we nicknamed it the Bar 20. It looked right. Like something of a Western. And then some months later, we were transferred over to St. Philomena's. It was a block or a concrete building out inside the Ryan Center, as we went into the main hospital at the moment, in the Yates. It's changed again now, of course, but it was called St. Philomena's then. Yeah, we all lived in that time. There was a great bit of banter between the staff and everything else. We used to, of course, you always had the chance then if you were good looking or smart, of taking north out, you know.
Right.
Into town, it was amazing that time, because for 10 shillings, the little 10 shilling note, you could pay two fares at a town, two films, you know, two tickets for the cinema.
Yes.
Have a bowl of soup and a cup of coffee in the Green Rooster Cafe in Rockall Street, all for 10 shillings. You wouldn't do it now for €50.
No, but how much were you earning a week?
God, it wasn't too bad, you know. I think we started off at about £5 a week, you know.
Well, that was okay.
It went up to six, and I think it was seven before I left. It was a big change, because when I started my apprenticeship, I was getting 17 and six a week, and I had to pay 10 shillings toward my board.
Right, so you lived in.
It was a huge change, you know.
So the salary was good, or you considered it not bad?
Not bad at all. It was a fantastic experience, you know, a wonderful experience, you know. We had Dr. Collins who was there as well. He was one of the doctors, the main doctors there, along with Dr. Logan. And, of course, we had Shocknessy matron. She was a matron. The assistant matron at the time was Anne Conroy. Very strict. They were very, very, very strict people, you know. It was, you had to be in a certain time, like you weren't. Well, the men wasn't too bad, but the women were very kept. Well, they had the nurses home across the road. We were not allowed that direction at all, you know.
Right, so you had to be in at night at a certain time.
They had to be in at the last bus, like that was it. If you weren't, you were in trouble, you know.
Right.
And, of course, the man had the gear to tell on you.
Oh, right.
The men wasn't too bad, but the women, they were more strict than the girls, you know.
Right.
So quite and a lot of them that time, you know.
Was there any crack? Did you get into
it? A bit of fun. There's only so much you can say, because you wouldn't know who you'd be hanging here. we had a bit of fun, no doubt about it. You know, we had a bit of fun. I remember one night, we're bringing a person that died, we're bringing him down to the mortuary. And it was a very wet night, and myself and another orderly were there, and I sent him ahead to get the sister. To open the door of the mortuary, and I came down, but we had a bit of a mishap. One of the wheels kind of given bother on the mortuary trolley, and he had to go to get Sister Ging to give us a hand. So I pulled the sheet off and covered myself and gave her an awful fright. She thought there was a ghost down behind St. Mary's. She didn't forgive me for quite a while. But anyway, it wasn't too bad, you know. But going back to the time, was a patient. There was one, when Sister Kelly had us there, we'd be having the crack at night, you know, like Ireland. The young lads would do. But an old man there once said to us, he said, "I know what's wrong with you young lads," he said. "It's the good feeding and the bad breeding," he said. I think he could have been right.
Right. But you said somebody had an unusual visitor at night.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Well, that was, you know, there was a patient there. He was a long-stay patient there for quite a while, and he had a pet crow. And you could call the crow around lunchtime, and the crow come. And if he didn't call him, he'd come and he'd knock on the window like that, you know, because from 12 to 1 was complete silence in the ward. You couldn't make noise. You had to lie down and be still for the whole full hour, right?
Yes.
But this crow come and knock on the window, and then your man would slide him in the back and give him a bit of bread. But he had the pet crow for ages, you know.
And did he come into the ward?
Well, he would if he'd let, but he wouldn't. He didn't. He wouldn't. You managed to keep him out. Oh, he'd come into the ward, surely, yeah. He wouldn't, you know.
Right.
But he'd call him. If he wasn't there, he'd call him. The crow would come flying down to give him a bit of bread. He was one of the bigger crows. It wasn't a jackdaw, the bigger type of crows, you know.
Right.
But he'd helped now. That man was, as a long stay, he'd gather the bottles, the urine jars, you know, for the nurses and that, and he'd be rooting around from early morning, you know. He was a long stay patient. He was there for quite a long time before I was there, and for quite a while. In fact, he was there until I left as a nursing orderly went away. You know, he was still there, you know.
So you're talking about a number of years.
Oh yeah, I'd say Paul. That man could have been there for about maybe 15 or 20 years. You know,
right? That was a long time.
He was. Yeah, he wouldn't. He was. You know, maybe he was institutionalised. I don't know. But we played a trick on him one night when I was a patient there. He always got his own urinal. We call them ducks at them because they're up the shape of ductile plastic. He'd have a dray and all it ready for himself, but we got a tin of Anders liver sauce and put it in the night. So you can imagine at 4 o'clock in the morning when it used the commotion that happened then, he thought there was a ghost in the bed and there was a big screaming match. The night nurse came up with a bit of excitement, but anyway, I don't think anybody's ever caught for it. But
right.
There was no real damage done, you know.
Right. It was all innocent, crack.
All innocent fun, you know. But it was a great way, and as I said, when I worked there, we had when a patient was transferred to a hospital in Dublin, which often happened from us, we'd always, when our day off, go to see them. We'd just go and say hello to them in the hospital. That's how we got to know Dublin, we'd be walking around. We'd get off the bus there in Aston's Quay, and we'd head off there and we'd go in and see them before we go to a film, whatever it was in the evening, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was great. But then the last bus left at 10 past 11, you had to be on that, or you didn't. And the last bus left at 10 to 10 on Sunday night, so it was different.
Yeah.
But,
and you said patients were moved along.
Oh, that's right, yeah. There was a, as you went into the ward, St. Patrick's, on the right-hand side, was the older people who left up there. Yeah, and the young ones were kept down the left. But as corridors have got, we say, more serious ill, or they'll be passing by shortly, so they'll be moved nearer the door, and they'd say to you, "Be God, Morris," they'd say, "I'm heading for that up in the sky." I said, "No, we're moving down because we're going home. You'll be home shortly." "Oh, no, we're going to buy upstairs." And, you know, it was sad in a way, but, you know, a lot of them, you know, was not much. It was done, I suppose, professionally, because to save taking people down past other patients, you know.
Yeah.
And like a lot of them, there was nothing we could do about a lot of them had cancer them days, you know. But
it was very nice of you to stay in touch with the other patients.
I did indeed, and I stayed in hospitals. Pat Dean, your friend of mine, had been a patient. He worked there in the records office. Pat died there a couple of years ago. But we stayed very good friends and kept in touch, and I often called to see him. And Jimmy Murphy, which Jimmy now is still an ambulance driver there. Jimmy came in my time when I worked there as a patient, and then he got a job there. And he's still there, you know. There's another lady on the switch. Her name is Josephine. She's still working there. And she came there originally as a cadet nurse, and then she switched over to work in the office there. And she's still working at it. So it's a long, long time, you know.
So you stayed in touch with the people? And
I did indeed, and the patients to an extent, you know. We always talked about them, and, you know, we've called to see them. With that. I regularly called when I was around Dublin, or even came back from abroad when I went to England. There was a few people, that were, if they were still there, I called and said hello to them. You know, there's one lady in particular. She was there for many, many years. She must be there for 20 years. She was in Donegal. Kathleen McMonagall was her name. She was in St. Edith's. And there's a man there called Pat Bracken from Wexford. He was there over 30 years. But both of them got discharged on treatment, and they've done very well for themselves. You know, I think they're both still alive. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. It was a fantastic experience. Primate Hospital was, you know, it's something you couldn't. I don't think you could be taught what I was taught in Primate Hospital. You couldn't be taught it. You know, there'd be no curriculum for that type of thing. You know, I thought it was a real experience, and one I'll never forget. And I was delighted to have had the experience, even though it was started off as a sickness. Thanks be to God, I never looked back. They always told me that I could never do the exam for the guards, because if you had TB, you'd fail the medical.
Right.
When I done the exam for the guards, and the only thing I failed was my chest was too small. And they gave me a chest expander and a 6-week course to expand it 3/8 of an inch. I done that, and it was accepted. That was a different...
Right.
It
was a great experience.
A great, fantastic experience. And we noticed as well, while we were there, we often spoke about, in different times, patients have come from different parts of Ireland. You get a batch from Wexford, then maybe Kilkenny or Leash. You know, it'll change or temporarily. We had very few, Donegal as well, it was very familiar with a lot of people coming from there, but we never had many from Cavan or Monaghan or Meath, West Meath or Kildare, not too many. We noticed that at a certain time during my time there, you know. But Sister Kelly was a wonderful person. She was very, very good to young people, very strict, but very good and professional.
And
all in all, a great help and a great, like, you know, Sister Kelly taught me an awful lot, like, in her own way, you know. She taught me how to handle, you know, death, and, you know, that was fantastic, you know. And I really enjoyed my time at Pembroke Hospital, you know, it was fantastic.